We must ensure we have the best army possible, even under full sequestration. In developing a total army solution for the future, the Secretary of Defense directed that the Army do not size for large, prolonged stability operations. Furthermore, we were not to retain force structure at the expense of readiness and to develop balanced budgets that permitted the restoration of desired levels of readiness and modernization by the end of the sequestration period. The Secretary and the Army and I provided additional guidance to fulfill the needs of our combatant commanders first, and then to disproportionately reduce our active forces while implementing modest reductions in our Guard and Reserve forces. The Army and the Office of Secretary of Defense conducted a transparent, open, and highly collaborative budget formulation, force structure, and aviation restructure decision process that included representatives from all components at every level. Additionally, experts and analysts within the Department of Defense assessed all proposals for their viability in ensuring the Army could meet its defense strategy requirements. Finally, numerous meetings of the Joint Chiefs and combatant commanders examined these proposals before a final decision was made by the Secretary of Defense. The result is a balanced approach that gives us the best Army possible, even if sequestration continues in fiscal year 16. The plan calls for end strength reductions of 213,000 soldiers, with the disproportionate cut of 150,000 coming from the active Army, 43,000 from the Army National Guard, and 20,000 from the Army Reserve. These reductions to the active Army represent 70% of the total end strength reductions, compared with 20% from the National Guard and 10% from the U.S. Army Reserve. We could reduce up to 46% of the brigade combat teams from the active Army and up to 22% of the brigade combat teams from the National Guard. This will result in an Army going from a 51% active and 49% reserve component to a 54% reserve and a 46% active component mix. The Army will be the only service in which the reserve component outnumbers the active component, and we believe under these fiscal constraints it's appropriate. The Aviation Restructure Initiative allows us to eliminate obsolete airframes, sustain a modernized fleet, reduce sustainment costs, and efficiently organize ourselves to meet our operational commitments and imperatives. Disproportionate reductions come from the active component aviation. We will inactivate and eliminate three complete combat aviation brigades from the active component. We will move all UH-72s from the active component to Fort Rucker in order to train pilots across all three components. In the National Guard, we'll maintain 10 aviation brigades. We will move Apaches to the active component while increasing the fleet of UH-60s by sending 111 of the most modern Black Hawk helicopters to the National Guard. The National Guard will also retain all of its LUH-72s and CH-47s. In the end, the active component will be reduced by 687 aircraft, which is 86% of the total reduction. The National Guard will be reduced by 111 aircraft, which is 14% of the total reduction. ARI will result in a better and more capable formations which are able to respond to contingencies at home and abroad. My goal remains to sustain the National Guard and U.S. Army Reserve as an operational reserve. To accomplish this, we must take moderate reductions to overall end strength in order to invest in appropriate training and sustainment levels. Combat training center rotations and maintaining more modern equipment is expensive. We need to have the resources to fund collective training and to sustain equipment modernization. By taking the modest end strength reductions to the National Guard and Reserves, we can continue to retain them at the current record high levels of readiness and modernization. Finally, let me address the calls for a national commission to examine Army force structure and why we believe that such a commission is unnecessary. First, the Army worked our plans to downsize the force and reduce spending levels in an open, transparent, and collaborative manner. It has been approved by the combatant commanders, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as well as the Office of the Secretary of the Army and Secretary of Defense, following months of deliberation and analysis. Second, the Army continues to provide Congress with our intent, rationale, and proposed plan for the total Army. Third, our plan disproportionately reduces active forces over National Guard and Reserve forces. With our current and future budget levels, cuts will happen. Our proposal adequately balances the importance of readiness, responsiveness, operational requirements, future requirements, cost, and provides the most effective and efficient force for the budget allocated. No one is fully satisfied with the final outcome, including myself. However, the reality is that the funding in the future will not allow us to have everything we may want. These cuts will still occur, even if we delay our decisions or fail to address the issue as a total army. The results will be hollowing out of our army. Our soldiers will be less prepared, and this will cost more lives in the next conflict. Our army is made up of professionals who have superbly executed their assigned missions under extraordinary circumstances. This total force plan reflects the continued commitment and sacrifice of soldiers from every component of our Army. This is not about active versus National Guard or U.S. Army Reserve. This is about providing the best total Army for our nation. Our Army is getting smaller. We must be more ready in all three components to respond to future threats. This plan allows us to balance end strength, readiness, and modernization across the Army and sustain our critical National Guard and U.S. Army forces Reserve forces as viable operational reserve.
The Guard is committed to being a part of that team. As I look to the future and envision the National Guard, I do so mindful of the last 12-plus years, fighting as part of a combined joint force. Today's Army National Guard is the best manned, best trained, and best equipped in its history. It is accessible, ready, capable, and provides a significant value to the taxpayer. Your Guard has proven time and again that we fight our nation's wars, we defend the homeland, and we have the structure to build enduring partnerships, both overseas and at home. During the last 12-plus years, we have deployed Guardsmen overseas more than 760,000 times. Domestically, National Guard soldiers and airmen responded to emergencies in 53 states, territories, and the District of Columbia in fiscal year 13. Our highly successful state partnership program has yielded strong military-to-military relations where 15 of our partner nations, from Estonia to Jordan, El Salvador to Mongolia, have paired with our states and deployed 79 times. None of this is possible without the support we've received from this committee and our parent services. The assistance Congress has provided in the form of the National Guard and Equipment Reserve Equipment Account has been invaluable. We must be careful to preserve the operational force we've built in the National Guard, but sequestration already threatens the total force. The National Guard provides our country, our Army, our Air Force with flexible military capability and capacity that cannot be easily replaced once it's gone. I recently returned from an overseas trip to visit the outstanding Guardsmen and women mobilized. In my travels, I am frequently told by commanders that when you see our soldiers in the combat zone, they are indistinguishable as to whether they are Guardsmen, active duty soldiers, or Army reservists. This is exactly the way we want it, and we should be resolved to ensure it remains that way. I am proud to say that the Guard units and soldiers have accomplished every mission assigned to them. This includes brigade combat teams conducting counterinsurgency operations and combat aviation brigade deployments and non-standard units such as agricultural business development teams. We have done all of these missions side by side with our joint interagency, and international partners. This integration did not occur overnight, nor did the evolution from strategic reserve to operational force. It happened far from home, apart from families, with great sacrifice. Our National Guard soldiers tell me they want to remain operational at some predictable level with deployment opportunities. They look forward to integrated, realistic, and challenging annual training periods and weekend training assemblies, such as those that our combat training centers and our state-of-the-art equipment provides. What I just outlined for you is how I see the Army National Guard, truly a solid partner both overseas and at home. However, given the current fiscal uncertainty and turbulence, I am concerned that this vision is at high risk. Congress provided much appreciated relief with the Bipartisan Budget Act. However, even with the Bipartisan Budget Act, the Army National Guard FY15 budget might be reduced as much as $1 billion.